Welcome to another episode of The Low Blow on SouthwestFight.com and MyMMAnews.com. I am Justin Gidgem, joined by Jorge Hernandez. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? I don't know if you realize it, after his Cerrone news, we'll probably talk about it later, there could potentially be three world champions by the end of the year residing in central New Mexico.
That's crazy, man. But yet, the UFC probably won't come here for any kind of big event. So, bummer there. But nevertheless, we got a lot of news to discuss. As always, you can get in touch with the show through social media. We're available on Facebook, along with Twitter, through at The Low Blow. And we're available on YouTube as well. Just type in Low Blow 505 into that search bar, and you'll be able to find all our videos. Oh, Jorge does a great job of covering all the local events, so please go check that out. So, man, let's not waste any time, and let's discuss some things. And let's start off with Donald Cerrone finally getting his title shot. I mean, this man has been through quite the journey just to get to this point of achieving, I believe, his first ever UFC title opportunity. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right, man. It's okay. Unbelievable to what... He's just been a name that's been around. I mean,
for sure.
He's synonymous with WEC, man. And
yeah.
It's just unbelievable what this guy has been able to do. And, you know, a lot of guys don't have that strong or have the ability to stay that relevant in MMA. This guy's what? This is going on in 8 years, and he's still running solid. You know, we thought he had his little bumps in the road after he lost to Perez, and then Dos Anjos of first time around back in 2013, but I mean, is there anyone that's hotter besides Conor McGregor, anyone that's hotter than him right now as far as, you know, in his weight class?
It's true, and I think the UFC probably wants Donald Cerrone to win as well,
right,
in terms of a marketing perspective, because, you know, with Rafael Dos Anjos, let's face it, I mean, the guy, I mean, his English is not really, you know how it is, man, you know how people look at him in terms of marketability, you know, English is not that good, really don't know too much about him as a person. It's just difficult to kind of market a champion like that. How do you think this fight's going to go, man, considering what Dos Anjos not only did to Cerrone the first time, but, I mean, in all honesty, the way he destroyed Anthony Pettis, I mean, that wasn't just a, you know, 48-47 victory, that was a complete... You know, I'd say embarrassment of Anthony Pettis. I mean, are we seeing a new fighter in Rafael Dos Anjos? Do you think he just really had a really good night? And do you think he'll come back to earth to when he fights Donald Trump?
I mean, that's a good question that you brought up. Obviously, he dominated. I don't even know if it was – I mean, there was a lot. I mean, Pettis –
He embarrassed
He
him.
Did. But Pettis, did we see the best Pettis? He was coming off all these promotions, the Weedy Box,
sure,
so all this stuff. So who knows – how, you know, mentally, how involved he was with this and or that particular fight. And then the Cerrone-Dos Anjos fight, maybe one of the rounds maybe was overwhelming. And if I remember correctly, for Dos Anjos, if I remember right, I think Cerrone won one of the three rounds in that fight. So
sure,
we're talking a couple of years later, just completely different, I guess, state of mind for each one of these guys. And Dos Anjos is coming off that injury. We don't know what he's going to be like as far as that. So I think Dos Anjos should be the favorite just because of what history has shown, because of what you said he did to Pettis. And he's likely the favorite. And, you know, while I let you go ahead and drop your two cents in here, I'll look up the odds.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting because conventional wisdom is going to say, since this is a title fight, you know, Donald Cerrone, since he's a slow starter, can give away rounds, which I disagree. I mean, this is
yep,
still an MMA fight. I mean, just because you have two more rounds, you don't have, you know, doesn't give you the freedom to just give away rounds in an MMA fight, let alone any combat sport that there is. So I think Donald Cerrone is going to have to be extremely aggressive, and hopefully he's looking for the finish. I mean, I don't mind fighters losing. It's just when they can accept defeat from the first round and just, I don't know, look, they want to look for their opponents to make mistakes. And I'm hoping that's not the case with Donald Cerrone. I hope he's kind of borderline overly aggressive in his fight.
2.5 to 1 underdog, Donald Cerrone.
And it's not too surprising considering he lost the first fight and also how Dos Anjos handled Anthony Pettis. More fight news, in particular, Chris Weidman and Luke Rockhold. It's interesting because on SportsCenter, you texted me, Jorge, saying there's a big UFC announcement. I think everybody was anticipating Ronda versus Cyborg, but we did not get that. Instead, I mean, it's weird to consider Chris Weidman versus Luke Rockhold a disappointment because I think, in my opinion, this is kind of the MMA equivalent of Gennady Golovkin and David Lemieux, even kind of more than that. In terms of such an even match MMA fight. So it's going to be Wyman and Rockhall, and then Connor and Jose Aldo on the same card. Your thought on two title fights on this card, do you think that's a good idea, or do you think they should spread these fights out?
Not if they're trying to hype up the Conor McGregor machine. They've got to keep fueling it, and this is one of the best ways to do that. You have two All-American guys, one of them with supermodel looks, the other one, of course, the legend, the Brazilian legend killer, if you will. So that fight's a toss-up. It's pretty close. Luke Rockhold's coming in at plus 140, so a little bit under 2-1. Underdog, Chris Weidman, minus 160, so almost a 2-1 favorite. I think those odds are absolutely on point, because this fight potentially is almost a coin toss, but I slightly lean toward Weidman.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a coin flip, man. It's weird to consider, Chris Weidman on the pound for pound rankings, because a lot of people are saying Ronda's the number one fighter in the world. I understand that's because of her hype, but you take a look at Weidman. I mean, he did beat arguably the greatest, MMA fighter of all time twice. And he beat Vitor Belfort, even if he's off the juice. You take a look at that streak. I mean, he beat a dominant Vitor and Anderson Silva twice. I mean, what more do you want the guy to do, I mean, it's just, I feel badly for this guy. Even if he handles Luke Rockhall, I don't think he's going to get that respect he deserves. I want to ask you, man, just real quickly, because we have a lot of topics, but I think it's worth mentioning, Joe Rogan, and we kind of talked about this fight in particular last week with Demetrius Johnson and John Dodson, but, Rogan keeps mentioning, Demetrius Johnson is the number one pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. Do you know why he keeps saying that? That can't be his real opinion, considering John Jones and Chris Weidman are out there, right? I mean, why do you think he keeps pushing Demetrius? Is this a marketing ploy just because, Johnson doesn't get that respect from not only hardcore fans, but just the casuals out there?
I mean, I feel pretty confident that he feels that he's telling the truth, I feel he's telling the truth to how he legitimately feels. I mean, who's been able to dominate a division as much as he has? Let's be honest, ever since, obviously, he had a draw against Ian McCall. That's the closest anyone has come to beating him at that weight class. And then he's just pulled off, I believe it's 8 wins in a row since that Ian McCall fight and since his loss to Dominic Cruz at 135. So as far as the domination within a weight class, it's kind of hard to argue, especially if you're taking John Jones out of the equation, I think.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those things I find kind of peculiar. But nevertheless, let's go and discuss, and let's move over to boxing real quick. And in particular, Miguel Cotto and Canelo Alvarez. This is a fight that I think many people have been looking forward to, including yourself, Jorge. Yeah. It's finally made November 21st on my dad's birthday. Maybe, he likes boxing. Maybe take him to see that fight. This is going to be, interestingly enough, in the Mandalay Event Center in Las Vegas, a co-production with Golden Boy and Roc Nation. What do you make of the venue of Mandalay Event Center for this fight? Because, this is a huge matchup. And Mandalay Bay, it's been kind of deferred to, the MGM Grand and some other venues around the country. Do you know why they chose the Mandalay Bay Event Center in particular for this bout?
It has to be the date, Jay. I'm not sure what's going on at the MGM Grand that day, but... And you also wonder what type of how much Jay-Z had to do with this, that he didn't maybe want the MGM Grand just because of maybe the connections they have with Al Heyman. And, for those hardcore fans, know about the beef that Jay-Z has behind the scenes with Al Heyman. So I wouldn't be surprised if Mandalay Bay. Maybe Mandalay Bay gave him a sweet offer and said, hey, you guys can bring it here. November 21st, I believe it's when the fight's happening. Looking at the calendar now, and Travis Pastrana's Nitro Circus is hitting the MGM Grand that day.
Wow. Huh. That's interesting considering, the big Puerto Rican fan base in New York. I mean, what's the Barclays Center, Madison Square Garden?
No way a Mexican would fight in New York, especially one that big of a name. Maybe scared that he'd get robbed or, just
what's the last?
The convenience of location. I mean, even the fans, if you think about it, the amount of Puerto Ricans that live in New York compared to Mexicans is probably 6 or 7 to 1. So obviously 80% of that crowd that night in the Madison, if it happened at Madison Square Garden or Barclays, would be pro Cotto, but if the fight happens here at the MGM Grand, I feel it's not necessarily more even, but it's a little more fair than the fight happening in Los Angeles, where you'd have an unbelievable amount of Mexican tension. So I feel Vegas is a fair option between the two. And of course, you're trying to attract the glamour of Vegas is always going to be there. So the big fight's happening in Vegas this weekend. Let's go. You know, you'll get a lot of people to travel from either New York or Los Angeles, because it's not that far of a drive from L.A.
For sure. You have any, I guess your early, I don't want to spoil your predictions now, but I guess your early assessment of the fight.
It really depends on how much pressure Canelo Alvarez puts. I feel that he's going to be able to stop Cotto within the first nine rounds. People are forgetting the type of competition that Miguel Cotto has fought since Austin Trout, man. It hasn't been that good. They're C+, B- fighters at best. I just don't know how people are overlooking that fact. And for Alvarez, he's only 25 years old. He's fighting, you know, we mentioned that he's fighting Miguel Cotto, a guy that's, what's it, Miguel, just off the top of my head, was he 33 maybe?
I think
So I just don't get it. It's 34. He turns 35 in October, dude.
Wow.
I just don't see him being able to keep up with Alvarez's power. I mean, Alvarez has decent speed. His footwork isn't the best. I feel Cotto, if he outboxes from the outside, might stand a chance, but I'm going Canelo Alvarez, man.
This might be a weird question because it's about a promoter, but what do you expect from Roc Nation in terms of all of this? Do you think Golden Boy kind of takes all of the reins here? We've documented Roc Nation's problems with various fighters. This is the first major fight, you know, on pay-per-view featuring them. What exactly do you expect from them, if anything?
I feel both of them will be able to, you know, come to, I guess, respectable, I guess, positions on what they're going to take on this fight, how the fighter's going to be presented, all that, all the paperwork. They have to. I mean, they're up against Al Haymon and this PBC boxing machine.
Sure.
It's almost where, and the two organizations aren't enemies. Roc Nation hasn't been around too long to make any enemies.
Yeah.
You know, what is it, about a year and a half so far that Roc Nation as a boxing promotion has been around. Obviously, they've been around for a while as just in a sports agency, but I mean, Jay-Z, if he's having any power behind this or he has people around him, the guy's done shows worldwide where he has, you know, 30, 40, 50,000 people at his shows. So I feel he has the right people behind it, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a good event. He, you know, the music industry is also where Al Haymon came from. So they know what they're doing when it comes to just promoting in general.
So, man, let's get to something, you know, from something serious to something absolutely ridiculous. And that is Anderson Silva handed a one-year suspension for the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Now, it's retroactive, so it picks up from when he first tested positive to now. The commission said he tested positive for androsterone and dextrandrolone metabolites. Anderson Silva's excuse was that it was a blue vial that contained a sexual performance supplement. Just one of the bizarre aspects of this entire hearing, Jorge, there's even a cell phone that went off according to BloodyElbow.com with various tracks that you would get down to, man. Salt and Pepper, Shaggy, R. Kelly. It was like a 90s revival in that Nevada State Athletic Commission. But quickly, your thoughts on this man, his victory turned to a no contest. He had to forfeit his $200,000 win bonus and his fight purse of 30%, totaling about $380,000 in fines. Nick Diaz, his commission hearing will come up later for him testing positive for marijuana. Your thoughts on this whole Anderson Silva debacle? I think finally we have a resolution.
Yeah, you do the crime, you pay. You know, you have to do the time, man. It's something that he was. You know, he obviously two just freakishly unbelievable, you know, finishes to his two fights against Weidman before this fight with Diaz, that knockout, and you know then the injury. You know.
Yeah.
There was, I, you know, just trying to put myself in that position, obviously, you know, who am I? But embarrassment, maybe for the first one, for his first loss. The second time, just, you know, complete disappointment. It'll drive a person, it'll drive a man to do some crazy things, you know, to come back. So it's kind of weird. Like, I've never been the biggest Anderson Silva fan. I think you know that. But
yeah,
it's I feel bad for him, you know, because he tried to come back. He wanted to come back to the sport so long. He's, what, 40 years old now? And
I believe
that
so,
may
yeah.
have been his last hurrah, man, that fight against Nick Diaz. So you just don't know what a person's feeling, especially when it's emotional. And then, like I mentioned, the way he lost those two fights with Weidman, he just wanted to come back, redeem himself. And what's the quickest way to come back from injury, you know, to do these performing-enhancing drugs?
Yeah, it's tough, man. And, you know, just his legacy, I think he had that respect, but I don't think that kind of, you know, overall admiration like Ronda Rousey's getting, or even Fedor for that matter. And certainly that failed drug test doesn't help things. Let's move on. Let's talk about Ray Borg. He was in action at UFC Fight Night 73, getting the victory over Janine Herrera, pretty convincingly, 30-27 all the way around. What do you make of his performance? Here's another guy on the rise in the flyweight division, and as we discussed last week, you know, the flyweight division for Demetrius Johnson, he needs contenders. I mean, we saw Horiguchi, who's ranked 8th, get a title shot. If Ray Borg keeps on the winning track, you know, a title is in his future. What do you make of his performance?
I thought it was a great performance, man.
Yeah.
Here's the crazy thing about it. If people feel that was an ugly performance by him, he was extremely dominant. And that is scary. That is scary, yeah. If that's the worst Ray Borg can do. It's a guy that, you know, the announcers, John Anik specifically, was saying that the guy could potentially fight for a title in 2016, and I wouldn't bet against it, man. He's a beast on the ground. He's decent on the stand-up. He hasn't, I don't think, gotten a chance to showcase his stand-up a whole lot, but when you got ground game that unreal, that quick, I mean, you don't need to.
Yep, I agree with you. Real quickly, for that Fight Night card, anything else that caught your eye? We saw Glover Teixeira beat OSP, thank goodness, ending that hype train. a disgrace of a decision with Benel Darouche defeating Michael Johnson.
What was that?
Right. That was a
What's worse, disgrace. Ross Pearson, Diego Sanchez, or that one?
Oh, my God. I would say, from what I remember, Ross Pearson, I thought I won every round convincingly.
Yeah.
I think Ross Pearson. I think that was just a supreme shock. This was pretty bad, though, but I think Ross Pearson was significantly worse. You know, Derek Brunson got a victory. You know, he trained to Jackson.
He looked dominant.
Yeah. To me, I just think his striking is just sloppy, man. I just think him and Oben St. Preux just have that this sloppy style. It's just, you know, it's 2015. It's not 2001, man. You got to step your game up. Uriah Hall, I didn't actually see the fight because it was on Fox Sports 2, but apparently he got the knockout in round one. So I think good for him for finally showcasing his ability. Amanda Nunes looked great. I think she took apart Sarah McMahon pretty convincingly. So overall, pretty entertaining fight night card. Moving on to boxing this weekend, Lucian Boutte is in action. What can we expect from him? Is that going to be, I believe, is that on Spike or Showtime?
That's actually in neither of them. It's a PBC on, you ready for this, NBC Sports.
Wow, huh.
I believe it's the first PBC on NBC Sports that's taking place. He's going to fight, Andrea DeLucia there at the Bell Center in Montreal, Quebec. But, you know, the Bell Center, the center of a lot of these these Canadian fights, man. But it's a good fight for Lucien Boutte, of course, trying to bounce back from, you know, the last year when he did lose that bout against Jean Pascal. I mean, Jay, that was in January of 2014. A lot of people don't realize it's been over a year and a half since Lucien Boutte's been back in the ring. But in his last three fights, he, of course, lost to Karl Frotch, got an easy W over Gracev, then the Jean Pascal fight. So this is a bounce back fight. I don't even want to call it a bounce back fight because Andre DeLucia isn't a rollover. He's won his last four fights. The guy has 13 knockouts out of his 17 wins. So this is a good measuring stick to see where Lucien Boutte still is and see if he can, you know, become dominant in that, you know, the light heavyweight division now. It was because he moved up from super middleweight. I still think super middleweight's going to be his weight class, but, you know, guys are a little slower there in light heavyweight, so maybe it is his position, a pretty good position for him. But he's getting a little older now. He's, what, I believe 34 years old, so.
Sure.
It might be the, he's trying to stretch out his career here a little bit. I'll just put it bluntly.
Well, we've been talking about a lot of old guys in boxing, man. Hopefully we get some new blood in the future. Moving on, this will be our last topic. UFC Fight Night 74 this weekend, Max Holloway, Charles Oliveira. Great fight. I think the main event's really good. The co-main event's gone under some change. It was supposed to be Rich Story versus Eric Silva. Rich Story gets hurt. It's Neil Magny taking his place, who just is coming off a loss against Damian Maia, so he'll be facing Eric Silva. And then you have Josh Berkman against Patrick Cote. I believe he has a lot of other Canadians on this card, including Sam Stout. You know, entertaining fight night, not anything great besides the main event, but nevertheless, in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. So Canada gets another UFC card. Anything else you're looking forward to on this fight card?
Max Holloway, see if he can, you know, dominate Oliveira here. And I like Max Holloway, man. I like
me too.
Good fight. And
I've always liked him,
yeah. Well, he's a little over 2-1 favorite, but, you know, it's always these random cards that tend to surprise us. So, I mean, I'm hoping that it's a decent card, but I got Max Holloway pretty easy there in that main event.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Oliveira, he's pretty easy to underestimate, but he's really tough, and he has a lot of great—he has a great skill set. I just think he's kind of been a disappointment. He's weird because he's 20-4, you know. I mean, a guy who has—I mean, he's on a 4-5 winning streak, and 3 of those wins come by submission. So, I mean, he's been on fire. He hasn't faced the greatest competition. Well, I take that back. I mean, he beat Jeremy Stephens, Nick Lentz, and Hayoshi Hayoki. So, and he beat Andy Ogle. I mean, those are pretty great fighters. His last loss was to Frankie Edgar in a unanimous decision. So, I mean, it's really his last bad loss was to Cub Swanson in 2012. So, you know, he's been on fire here. And, you know, I think for both of these guys, I'm trying to, I mean, go up the featherweight ladder. This is a huge fight, especially with Frankie Edgar not having really an opponent. Really, Chad Mendez on the men here. I think the winner probably gets one of those two guys there. So this is a really important fight for both of them. I believe that's going to wrap up our show, man, unless you want to talk about Ronda Rousey versus Floyd Mayweather.
No, please.
I don't. Okay, good. And we can end the show there. As always, you can touch with us through social media, through Twitter and on Facebook. I'd like to thank our partners each and every week, MyMMAnews.com and Southwest Fight. So for Jorge Hernandez, I am Justin Goodrum. You've been listening to The Low Blow. We will see you next week.
Hey.